camera you're seeing me on right now is my Sony a7 III that I've been using to record content for the Fusion course.
Of course you have.
But I had to go through like 7 different types of connections. There's like cables strewn around me on the floor of like things that didn't work.
And I'd ask for the behind the scenes vision, but I don't want to mess up your camera.
I can't move it. No, it's never moving again.
It's very crispy. Yeah, good.
Yeah.
What sort of content are you filming for the course?
I thought the course was in person, Justin.
Sign up to the Patreon for more.
Listen to that mic proximity. No, it's the there's a two-part, of course. I can't do anything that's simple. So the prerequisite suggestion is you get a Fusion CAD introduction. I can't cover CAM and CAD all in one day. So you get the CAD portion ahead of time. It'll be its own separate class online. So I've been recording that and I'm about halfway through.
Cool.
But apparently it's surprisingly challenging to like record yourself while like with a camera, record the audio and record your screen. Like I know a lot of people do it. I've done it before, but my God, so many weird problems.
Technically challenging.
Yeah. Silly. Shouldn't be, I guess, but there, you know, there's a lot of data, like things happening and computer capabilities and stuff. So you also look very crisp.
I am not on the Sony. Just on my broken phone. Hello.
When you got close there, it went potato, which is kind of funny.
Does that mean you need to get all of that content done before these people show up in your shop in a couple of weeks? Like, well before? Mm-hmm.
My goal is to get it done by the end of the weekend.
Okay.
So, yeah, I've got to... This might be a little short today. I got to save my voice, honestly. It's a lot of talking. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Thank you. I'm good. And
good.
Coming off the back of my traditional short workshop sleep of a Wednesday night. Feeling good. Got my playtime in.
I almost thought about saying, hey, maybe we shouldn't do tomorrow last night because I knew I had a lot to do. And then I was like, but I'm going to ruin Jem's cycle of like going to the shop and sleeping there. And I was just like, we'll figure it out.
We can keep it tight. I got a lot done last night, but probably not the things I should have been working on. I've got a bit of a backlog of drawings at the moment that I should be smashing out.
Yeah.
For jobs. But when it's after hours and there's machines to play with, I find it very difficult to just sit in the office and plug away in Fusion or Rhino.
That's what I did for hours yesterday.
Yeah.
What you mean? Nobody's here and me at Fusion and a dark room with a weird purple light behind me.
But good. Had a good evening. I've been working on a new photo wall in the office. With the reduction in team, we've suddenly got a lot more space in the office. And I'd like to convert some of that space into a bit of another little spot for shooting content, like a nice sort of clean domestic scene. And also just a spot where we can show clients, you know.
Yeah.
Bring a client in to look at stuff. Because we really don't do much of that, but when people do come here, it's nice to actually be able to show them our product. And more often than not, we have nothing set up for them, like zero. Just some old examples of some of our shelves full of books in the corner. And it's really not a showroom. And I don't really intend to make a fully fledged showroom, but just having a nice corner of the office where there's the things we make
set up.
And and where we can film stuff. And I've got a client who does this really clever wall mounting system kind of hidden in the wall. And so I've been working with him and I'm actually installing, that's what I was doing last night. I was installing one of his wall systems on our office wall. So I'll be able to do, you know, when we're doing wall mounted configurations or something, I'll be able to do nice, clean test assemblies on the wall. Yeah. It's got all the smarts in the wall and, yeah, it'll be nice. It's looking really good. taken me a little bit longer than I would have liked, but I was just gluing a few more strips on the wall before we went live.
Right. That's nice. Yeah, yeah. Have you seen two things? Have you seen Linus Tech Tips? That's hard to say at all. It's like a YouTube, Canadian YouTuber.
Yeah, I've come across it, yeah.
Absolutely enormous channel now, but he started out just doing kind of like MKBHD, just tech reviews. Yeah, it's not quite my thing, but they have a pretty large studio space, and they have like probably at least four different scenes, and one is like living room, wow. One is bedroom. So like they'll do some behind the scenes kind of stuff, and it's always kind of entertaining to like think you're in the living room, and then you pull out and it's like some black box studio otherwise.
Yeah.
You can have that.
So like,
you can do some like funny ads like that, I bet.
Yeah, I know.
Like moving between spaces.
A mega budget YouTube channel.
They're huge. They got offered over $100 million last year to be purchased, I'm pretty sure he announced.
Sheesh. Wow.
So yeah. Interesting YouTube channels can garner that kind of money, but I believe it. I feel like we're bearing the lead. What did you happen to get on your website working?
Oh, the configurator. This week.
Configurator.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all up and running.
Woo!
And no one's used
it. Like to play? I have.
I can't tell if anyone's used it because I haven't set up
analytics.
Any decent analytics on it. Whip, whip. Lash, lash. Yeah.
How do you do that?
I don't know.
You can't see it through like your shop. It's like, because it's embedded, it doesn't throw you data from the Shopify data, like through any other analytics.
I mean, it's on a Shopify page, so I should be able to tell.
If they go to the page.
Who's landing on that page, but it's about it, right?
I feel like they should provide you some kind of plugin to drop your Google Analytics code into or something.
I did ask them about analytics, and they said they've got an internal tool so they can see traffic of who's pinging that build of the configuration, but nothing they can share specifically with the user or the intermediate user, such as myself. But the configurator's live.
Right. I've been ever since you slacked me one night last week and said, I figured out I got it live, and like sent me a link, and I like built this crazy contraption and then did an AR on my phone and put it in my kitchen, and it didn't fit at all. Sent it back to Jim so he could test it out, see how it worked. But I did notice it's, other than the tests previously, it felt very snappy. Felt quicker. I don't know. I don't understand what that is. If it's like caching some stuff better or what. But yeah, it was fun. I enjoy it.
Yeah,
you know, the pricing is live is the big thing.
Yeah, the pricing's live. I asked Justin to record a screen capture for me of him using it because I wanted to see how much faster North American internet was. And it's quite substantial. It's like compared to. I should send you a comparison video. But it's just like.
Right.
Click. Lag, 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 click, lag, 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 lag. And I don't know that there's anything we can do about that at this stage.
Yeah. So I put this on a show a couple back, but I just thought of it again, mostly related to you. But I'd had this idea back when we were doing NACWAL too, instead of doing a configurator, because I knew we couldn't swing that, was to do a live, like, consulting webcam appointments for people. Where we would like basically throw a camera up, point it at a NACWAL area, and video chat with somebody and say, hey, what do you want? And I can throw it up basically like a fake version of a configurator, basically, but like the real person doing it. And then at the end go, all right, I can send you a quote for what this is.
Yeah, you know, that's cool.
And definitely high touch, but like it also could be easier and faster and maybe cheaper than you doing some kind of drafted custom thing, although you do have a actual configurator now. But I think that the personal touch of it might be pretty effective ask for advice or something, you know?
Yeah. Like, and people want advice. People are coming to us because they want our professional opinion. I do have some lingering doubts about this whole configurator thing of like, it'll be great if I can get the traffic to it. And get people to actually check out with it. Obviously, that's the goal. But, you know, I've been sort of in this very high touch system for a while now of like talking to all my customers, modeling it for them in Rhino, sending the multiple configurations. And there is something about that in terms of it's my design input as a designer saying, hey, this is what I think would look good.
Right. That'd be kind of cool too.
I have worked out a hacky way of sharing design, so I could still do that for people. Like I can build, you know, Justin's configuration and then share it with you as the client, and then you can continue to fiddle with it. That's kind of
that'd be really nice
in many ways. Yeah,
it's like the shared Fusion link, but it's your product in this specific thing. And then there's something about like I was going to recommend you do like a YouTube tutorial, which you just did before I even told you to do it. So you were on top of that. But I was like, I think no matter how much you try to describe it, it's just a little tricky to like get started, I think. And maybe that'll get smoothed out over time. But, you know, we are always the best at the things we do the most. And, you know, that's exactly why I'm making a Fusion course is it's like, even describing what I do all the time is funny because it's like, oh, I don't even know what that thing is called, but I do it all the time.
Yeah, totally. We assume so much of what we know, like, I think, across the board. Yeah. Cool. What's happening in your world other than recording a whole lot of videos?
Yeah, wrecking my voice. We've sold 4 of 6 class seats for this month, so that's exciting.
Fantastic.
Very happy about that. Some from local, some from the middle of the United States, which was humbling.
Very nice.
I guess maybe flattering is the right way to say it. And then I put up a date for next month too. So just that is yet to sell any, but I just thought, you know, I had somebody contact that had been in contact a few times about training. He's like, yeah, I need to know 30 days out at least. And I was like, yeah, that's totally reasonable. Mm-hmm. So I put up the second date and Ricky's been, he loves to organize and clean. So it's just been like, it's been a really great excuse. We have sold well over, I'd say close to $1,500 worth of crap out of our shop. Kind of all fantastic. Related to like profit first. And like we cleaned out this weird attic space that had like rock wool, 16 different monitor stands that were for monitors that are like on different mounts all over the shop and like all this random stuff, and a deconstructed dust collector that just the blower was left. I think it was my first dust collector. And just like such random stuff, chairs. So it's just been a really good excuse to like clean house again, kind of continuously. And I think it's going to be good for that too. Cause it's like, if we have this every month, unless we get lazy and are just like, yeah, come to our space. It's a shit show. We're going to want it to look good. And it's a good excuse to keep it clean and organized. So it's great for me.
Yeah.
For Ricky, we both love it like that.
It'll be fantastic for that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a lot of that. We've had a great string of sales, got some jobs, got some bunch of product sales, got a bunch of new stuff coming that's not quite ready to discuss, but
cool.
Felt like things are, I don't know, I've probably said this before, but the class coming out that I've wanted to do forever and the slim dust boot brush has definitely generated a considerable amount of sales of brushes and dust boots in the last,
Great. What
is that, 15, 20 days? And something just feels like, man, we're finally starting to hit the pace and the progress that I knew we were always capable of, but it just like, since we started doing products primarily, it hasn't felt like we've ever really made the right amount of revenue. You know, it's just always a little bit less. So it's feeling good. Just like the consistent amount of orders and something's working. Mm. I like it.
Very good. So nice to hear.
Yeah, thanks. It's nice.
I feel like the continuous chasing of one's tail in these businesses is such a ever-present force. You kind of forget, I think, that it could actually be any different.
Right.
Feeling that at the moment. Yesterday it was the 10th, so it was distribution day.
Ooh.
And I'm trying to synchronize all my bill payments with those distribution dates of the 10th and the 25th as well. And it was a bit of a stretch to pay bills yesterday, and I had to sort of juggle some money around and kind of got there for the most part. But yeah, just that constant, even now in the new model where like our sales target is half of what it was, it's like still got to hustle.
Right.
Like push, push, push.
Yeah. Does that make you, so do you think about, because the thing I keep thinking about in relation to that is what I remember what he said in the...
And now it's profit time.
Sorry, can't talk about this without that. in the Profit First book was that kind of signals to me that our costs aren't low enough when that problem happens. We've got too much overhead, margins aren't good enough, which I think... It's really like a two-edged sword where it's like that feels great to have something to go after rather than what I had before was, why the hell aren't we making enough money? Where's the money going? You know, it's like, it feels like there's two things. It's lower costs, like overhead, or find cheaper solutions to make our products. Not to lower the quality necessarily, like find better sources for something or make it faster or... And that feels so much more attainable than what the hell I was doing before, which was seemingly aimless compared to what we're at right now.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, a lot of the bills I paid yesterday were just plywood supplier bills. It felt like there was just one after another. It was like, oh, that one's due too. Yeah, I suppose I should try and pay that. And in the past, I've always been quite sort of stubbornly resistant to doing any sort of like bargaining or shopping around for better prices, because I'm just like, I like our supplier, we've got a good relationship,
yeah.
That's all that matters, blah blah blah, it gets charged onto the client anyway with a margin, like what does it matter if it's slightly more expensive than another supplier? It's like,
I want your product though.
I'm not about to jump ship with a supplier or anything, but just paying those bills yesterday and looking at the profit, looking at the materials and freight account, you know, dropping to zero, having paid those bills, it's just like, maybe we could be making smarter decisions about when we're ordering material and what material we're buying and who we're buying it from. And like one of the invoices I paid was for like a pack of birch that we must have received it a month ago because the invoice was due. But I still haven't opened it. Like that job has been not necessarily delayed, but it's not actually at production stage yet. And so I've had this birch sitting on the shelf for 30 days, but I haven't touched it. But I could have ordered it a few days ago, and then that invoice wouldn't be payable for another month after now. So it's kind of like, yeah, I don't know. It's pushing me to think about that stuff.
That specific one, I could argue either side. One is like, that feels like the, what was that thing we were talking about where the big banks like can make money on the money being transferred around, swap, something like that. Basically like the minute fractions that you get from them hanging on to your money. And it's like, we were talking about how Mike talks about that if you're just a normal sized business, you might make $5 on that.
Yeah.
But reality, you know, I guess if you knew it was 2 months out, yeah, maybe you hang on to wait another month. But the other side of that's like, what if that's not available and you told your client that, I don't know, that's happened here too often, I suppose. Yeah, yeah. You told your client, yeah, we'll go buy that now that you pay the deposit, and then you hung on to it and now there's no material. Maybe that's just the risk you take to be more responsible and you figure it out when that happens.
Always torn with that. Like I really want to sort of guarantee what I promise in a quote to a client. Like I hate being in that situation where I've said, yeah, we've got that black product in stock, and then comes production time, it's like, oh no, we don't quite have enough. It's like, had that recently with just a black set of shelves, and it became like a, you know, 30 email weeks long sort of conversation around like other options and alternatives and sending them samples, and it's just like total shit fire just because we had been a little bit sloppy with checking what we actually had on the shelf.
Right. Mm. So I had a thought, is there a new book we should be reading? I feel overwhelmed as normal, but I have been at times been like, hey, maybe I should start reading something else. And then I just kind of go on with life. Are you reading anything else?
No.
Seem or do we pick the only book that's going to impact our life this 12 months?
Yeah, I kind of overclocked my reading. I think I finished the third listen through of Prophet Verse, and I haven't picked anything up since.
Suppose I could listen to it again.
Kind of broke me.
I don't want to.
In a good way.
Yeah.
I don't know what else we should be reading. Have you read Atomic Habits yet?
No, but I have it. I get pretty like those in particular. I'm just like, I don't know. Maybe I just feel like I've tried all of them and nothing really ever changes my habits. Sure. And I'm just like, screw that. But I would try it. Question mark. So there was quite the topic here of I've not slept enough and I've been sitting in front of this computer. Eclipse, the full eclipse of the heart. There was a giant thing happening, right? Where everybody in America was just super excited about the eclipse. And I'm just never one for celestial things. I just don't care.
Come on.
I had a little regret, which I don't have much FOMO after the fact, even though we had no chance to see it here up in Oregon. But there was this pretty great thing that I saw after the fact that Google Trends hit 100 in America for the search term, my eyes hurt, which makes me just so embarrassed for those people. But he overlays the states in America who have the highest search on that time period as the eclipse with the full eclipse path. It is dead the same.
Wow.
These people stared at the eclipse and searched for my eyes hurt. Do we need to talk about how the sun works? I don't understand. Like, what? What?
That's so good.
Yeah. 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 I thought that was some interesting data. Did you guys have any chance to see it there?
No.
Really?
As the comment
know how that works.
In that TikTok video says, why are all eclipses only visible in North America?
Right. Just because of... I don't understand.
It's not true. It's not true, people.
Oh, right. Yeah, I figured. That makes sense.
Laura and I were sitting on the couch the other night researching your great nation and reading all about...
where this is going.
Laura was asking what state you're in. I was like, I think it's called Oregon. Let's look up Oregon. What happens in Oregon? Mm-hmm. We're reading the Wikipedia on it. It's smaller than I thought. So you've got the population of Melbourne state. And Portland is much smaller than I expected. We don't have any sort of cities that sort of intermediate size. So no, it's interesting little read. Mm-hmm. Got a sense of your political leanings as a state and how close to the Canadian border you are and things like that. I don't know. It's curious.
Close enough to run, I think.
Yeah, that was my takeaway.
Yeah.
Cool bananas.
States.
Table routers?
Table routers. I saw you post your router table. Yeah. I didn't realize I had never seen that area, I guess, here at shop. And you had some kind of like nicely lean inclined setup with different bits above your table router. I was hoping for details.
So that setup, I made that pretty much exact thing when we moved into the Castlemaine shop 4.5 years ago or something. And we already had that router table when we moved. It's like a inverted router. Mm-hmm. It had our old DeWalt inverted router, and I think previously. But anyway, I replaced that with a water-cooled spindle when that died, and because I wanted a collet system in my table router. I was sick of only being able to use quarter-inch and half-inch tools, and it'd be nice to have collets in there. And to be fair, I very rarely use any of the other tool sizes, collet sizes.
You have a tool changer going on there where you can, like, it's
ATC,
upside down, it
inverted
puts
ATC.
Them in.
That'd be rad. I did that sort of set overhead setup years ago, and it was one of those things that got changed against my will when I had more staff and
just disappeared.
You know, one lean day it disappeared and got changed for some reason. It's just like pretty much as soon as we, you know, Yeah, it was that sort of sense of ownership as we downsized recently, and I got back in the shop a little bit more. It was one of the first things I reinstated. I was like, we had this cart that got wheeled around. It was often not next to the router or not even in the vicinity of the router. And the cart took up a lot of floor space. And I was like, all of this whole thing, this envelope,
yep,
takes up all this floor space. 90% of it could just be mounted back where I had it over the router within arm's reach. So it's one of the things I just immediately changed back. And it's, I don't know, it reminds me of that sort of classic thing of like, how much leeway do you give people to make and improve, you know, because everyone's generally, right. I think everyone's trying to improve and make the workshop better. It's not like people are just being dicks and like pulling stuff apart to make life harder.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, this for some reason, this was irritating me and wasn't working for me. Yeah. So I will change it and try and improve it. And you just let people do that and you just let that sort of evolve and morph. Or do you control that more tightly and say, no, this is how I want it to be. This is how it's going to be. Do it like this, yeah, please.
I can imagine that's a lot tougher with a bunch of people, you know, and it's just a couple. I think things change slower. Obviously, there's less opinions. And so, I mean, we have a pretty open policy about making changes that are beneficial, but, you know, that's a subjective thing. So when things, I guess, change in a way, I guess I try to talk about them and just say, like, I don't know if that helps out. But, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I guess you just got to talk about it. And I usually think it's helpful to talk about those things, which I'm sure you do too, in the framework of like efficiency or like comfort or how does this, you know, make for a better experience for everybody that might use it. So it's kind of,
yeah, some, totally.
Sounds like corporate BS. How is this affecting your day?
Yeah. I mean, it's that part of my problem with this is that I do a lot of this stuff somewhat intuitively for better or worse, and I don't think too much about it or like internally rationalize why I'm doing something. I just do it because it feels, yeah, right. And so that's always been a struggle for me of like actually communicating the what and why.
Oh no.
Of what I'm, whoa, camera droppy outy. Oh no, I've lost
you. Dude, everything just dropped.
Lost your mic too.
Woo, woo. This shit just happened.
Banana.
I've got one ear.
I can still hear you, but it sounds like AirPod.
It is, but I don't even know how to change anything now. It's like completely jacked up the boy.
Well, that might be the end. You needed a short episode, right?
You can still hear me somehow. Yeah, it's mid-conversation, but what were you finishing saying? We can, yeah. And I don't know how
I think
to
I'd said what I needed to
change
say.
Anything. Well, you probably can't hear me with the crap, but we've had some technical difficulties and I needed a short episode today. So sorry that ended weirdly, but till next week.
Until next time.
See ya.
Cool, man.
Bye.
Cool bananas.
Bye. My left AirPod is like blowing out more than I've never heard it do anything like this before. It was like crazy loud, but